Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation focuses on the race for Lieutenant Governor, and we are joined by the incumbent, Democrat Bethany Hall Long. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate your having me today. Thank you.
So let's start with what you hope to accomplish running for a second term as Lieutenant Governor. What do you feel like there is still for you to do in a second term?
Really look forward to continuing my service to Delawareans as a nurse and mom. That is what brought me and continues to motivate my efforts to really work for a stronger and healthier Delaware. And in saying that, I think front and foremost, obviously on everyone's mind, is the work that we're dealing with the pandemic. But I have worked for 20-some years in elected office in the House and the Senate, now in as Lieutenant Governor, to really work on public health infrastructure and programs. And I think that's become very clear over this past 6 months with the COVID epidemic. And then also making sure not only that persons have the access to good, solid health care, whether it be for chronic disease or their mental health. And I've spent a lot of time in the emotional behavioral health system working to make sure we have access and services. And, you know, I really have a lot of work to do because we are experiencing the epidemic of opioid crisis during this pandemic. And there's a lot of work we've put in place. We've created the Behavioral Health Consortium. And we're making great progress, but there's unfinished business that we need to continue for expansion. And so continuing my service as Lieutenant Governor would be very helpful, not only around these health initiatives, and the final comment I'll say would be also around our economy. Again, to have a healthy economy, you got to have that healthy community, and they go hand in hand. And working really hard, you know, on those small business initiatives that I've worked on. And that includes workforce development and a solid education system. So, again, really have enjoyed the last 3.5 years as the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Delaware and hope to continue to provide my commitment and service, not only as a public servant, but as a nurse and a mom.
I mean, the Lieutenant Governor's role is definitely one that a person is what a person really makes of it. It doesn't necessarily come with a tremendous amount of very set things that it's supposed to do. You've talked about your work in the health care and the mental health area. You talked a little bit about economics. Have you been pleased with how you've been able to use the Lieutenant Governor's role to focus in on certain things like that? And are there any others that you might hope to get to in a second term?
Right. You know, and you're really correct. The Lieutenant Governor's office is second in command from the statewide perspective. And I have had the privilege of serving as the immediate past chair of the Democrat Lieutenant Governor Association, but I'm currently the chair of the National Lieutenant Governor Association. And that has given me this great opportunity to look at the roles of lieutenant governors across our great nation. And you are correct in that it really is a position of great opportunity. And that's how I've seen it. And I'm fortunate to be with a governor, Carney, who has been a lieutenant governor and respects the capacity for which one can expand on. And I have been very privileged to have had the opportunity to lead what I consider some really important initiatives. And that gets into what is that role of the Lieutenant Governor. One is specific policies and initiatives. Some examples have been the Behavioral Health Consortium work, working to expand mental health and substance use services across our state. But a really important one is also been leading the Complete Count Commission, which is our census. And we know that has played an important role in dollars that come into our state, our number of representatives that go down to Washington and Congress. And also, it's become a little bit of a debate in this presidential election around counting persons. And so I've been very pleased to have that type of policy work. But in addition, working with the National Lieutenant Governors Association in a bipartisan way, have worked on initiatives around young women in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and then also working really hard around the economy. I've been pleased with Secretary Bullock to lead the Pandemic Resurgence Advisory Committee, which is preparing us for this fall when and if the resurgence of COVID continues, which we don't have a vaccine and we don't have a treatment. So we most likely are going to have some experience of an increase. And so those policy kind of actions, I feel as if I've taken advantage of as a mom and a nurse and an educator to be out there working hard on those areas. What comes constitutionally in two areas would be, one, if something were to happen to the governor, God forbid, and two, we chair the Board of Pardons, which has been an incredible experience for me, having been one who's very involved in the issues of social justice, economic justice, very timely discussion now as we look at our nation around those issues. I have worked really hard with the members of the board and the staff to really expand and expeditiously allow persons who are seeking a pardon or those who are incarcerated seeking a commutation in their sentence to be more expeditiously heard. And so we've cut our wait time substantially. I'd like to continue as Lieutenant Governor to work on those justice issues and the policy area for which I feel really strongly posed an important one for me to be poised in that manner would be around the economy, particularly as it builds off of this experience that we have just gone through. You know, our governor's worked hard to protect Delaware. We're working hard to keep solid jobs. We're working hard to expand the Port of Wilmington, working on our science of white-collar jobs, blue-collar jobs. I really would like to continue to have a seat at the table to keep Delawareans safe as we expand upon the pandemic work. And so that is an area that I would hope and look forward to continuing to work. And the final thing would be around the equity that is involved in that. So making sure that our populations and communities of color or high-risk populations, the homeless and others, continue to get those services that they need.
I want to jump in and talk a little bit about some of the things you've mentioned a little bit more in depth. And we'll start just largely about, or broadly about the pandemic itself. And as you noted, since March, the governor's office has largely managed the state's response to the pandemic through executive order. Many of the people who are running either against Governor Carney or even yourself have been critical of the handling of the pandemic. What would you say to those folks and to the voters about how the Carney administration, yourself included, have handled this pandemic?
You know, well, the one thing that's nice about Delaware is we're small state of family, basically, and we know one another with the size of a county. And I have found as an independently elected office, you know, Governor Carney and I are independently elected, but we share values of making sure that we keep our community safe. And this pandemic, I teach as a professor of nursing as public health and epidemiology, believe it or not. When you are dealing with a new virus or something that doesn't have protocols that come with a playbook, right, you have to do the best and you protect Delawareans. And I am proud when I look at our numbers in Delaware of our infectivity rate. I'm sad that we've lost 600 Delawareans to COVID, but I also look at our rate and the work that we've accomplished during this time. We've all evolved across this nation. We've learned how important the three W's are: wearing that mask, washing our hands, and keeping our distance. And it's easy for folks to be sometimes a Monday morning quarterback on what if or what would, but I have to say our data and our points stand loud and clear, and I get a lot of calls from other lieutenant governors and persons across America who ask, how in Delaware did you do this? How have you set up this contact tracing? What initiatives? How do you get those vans out? I get the privilege of being out on the street. I love it. I love being kind of the undercover lieutenant governor. I'm in full Tyvek suit with my mask, my visor, helping folks like Dr. Sandy Gibney screen individuals for COVID. And I have to say, I've seen a phenomenal area where we've made progress. It's not been perfect. None of us have been perfect. I think part of the pandemic resurgence, if you get the chance to look at that plan, you know, we don't want to end up shutting down our entire economy. We want to do things differently, but it's going to involve all the partners. And so whether it's our critics or others, they have to be equally at the table with solutions, not just criticism, but tangible, concrete steps forward. And in Delaware, we do have that kind of beginning of a playbook where we have health measures in place and a plan for our systems to avoid public health surges. We have a plan to keep our economy strong with our businesses and our sector to really work hard on measures that keep unemployment low. And that is in partnership with our congressional delegation. And as we look to the new the White House in 2020. So again, I feel very confident about the work we've done, but we don't do it alone. We have a joint accountability with our community and our nonprofits. And I can share that when I've been out on the street, which I was yesterday again, with my faith-based leaders and others, they respect, I think, and appreciate everyone in public service who's doing their best. And a lot of it goes back to the local level. I have to give a shout out to our mayors, our communities, our leadership at the counties, as well as our health systems. They stepped up. And again, I started with the comment, and I'll finish with the comment that, you know, Delaware is a community of neighbors. And I think we've done really well with a pandemic that is uncharted waters that we haven't seen in the likes of a century.
You mentioned the economic piece of this, and even when this pandemic subsides, the country in Delaware will be in a recession. Some industries, retail, restaurants in particular, are not likely to fully recover. You mentioned some of the things that you feel need to be done and kind of promoting jobs again. Are there some specific things you feel that need to be done to get the economy back on track and create jobs for those who may not have jobs to go back to?
You know, we've been working on workforce development for some time. Our Secretary of Labor, Secretary Cade, and others have plans in place with our higher education institutions. I am a professor, and so, again, we recognize it is not all about college graduates, but people having employment from across the spectrum. Jobs for Delaware graduates and other programs in our high schools, preparing individuals, and those who've lost positions, retooling them. Part of all of our economy is small business. The majority of our community employers rely on those small businesses, and that's why the Chambers of Commerce and others have been big players, important players, as we do the pandemic resurgence. Certainly, in Delaware, we've all looked to our incorporation law and our financial institutions who have championed, but it is not the same as it was 20, 30 years ago, where it was all chemical or chickens and cars, but we've translated that into a more sophisticated health science, biotechnology industry, as well as things along the financial fintech and economic future. And so embracing entrepreneurship, collegiate education for all of our Delaware students who can go to college, who are eligible, who are Delaware graduates, but also having those prosperity partnerships with the business community and with those who want to go into the trades and the labor and the apprenticeships. So our unions and others who do great training, really important components as well. And our port in Wilmington expansion, as it's going to go up into Edgemore, is also really important component to our future.
You also mentioned social justice, and Delaware, like so many other states, has seen protests throughout the spring and summer focused on these issues surrounding racial equity. What do you feel should be the state's priorities in addressing racial equity?
You know, I believe that our state, like all states, has done some areas that have made improvements, but we have a lot of work to do. And it started this year, I know, when we had leaders from Delaware's General Assembly, the Black Legislative Caucus, and others who working with, and it has to be together, we have to be working with our local law enforcement from our municipals to our county to our state and others, and not just in the law enforcement community. discrimination, institutional racism have been components throughout history in our sectors of health and education and the community. Having this conversation today, you know, is an important one. This may not have happened 20 years ago. It may not have been at the front of a political or policy agenda, but having equity, equity for communities of color. I work every other week with Latino leaders statewide. I've had the privilege to be working with members of the NAACP and leaders to look about COVID and addressing some of the inequity, but also around mental health, also around incarceration. So we are chipping away. You know, the governor signed certain pieces of legislation addressing simple things that are important, right? With education and creating a task force to study through Del State and others what changes we need, to collaborating with our troopers and others about institutional responses to individuals and having crisis training. I am very big into working with mental health and behavioral health education and learning when it comes to law enforcement and making those changes, but also education, making sure every child has that opportunity, you know, for a solid education. And a lot of it starts at the street level, at the doorstep. And that's what I have loved doing for the past 25 years as a professor in public health nursing, being on the streets of Delaware, whether I was down in Sevierville, up in Claymont, being out with the students and being in the communities, working with our faith-based leaders, making sure we empower and we educate. It comes together. Final thing I'll say is yesterday I had the opportunity to be out with a couple of pastors with Stop the Violence and the Gun Issues in the city. And we were marching hand in hand and around, well, not really hand in hand during COVID, 6 feet apart. We were marching with our local law enforcement, with Wilmington Police. We were out with leaders in the community, empowering individuals in their own community to make those changes. And that's where equity begins, and equity begins at a different level than equality. I'm a big proponent of equity versus equality.
I do want to check in on education with you, and certainly education funding is one issue that's currently one that the state is dealing with and will likely continue to have to deal with into the next administration. Chancery Court's already ruled on the property tax system used in all three counties that it's unconstitutional. That could trigger property reassessments. The second half of that funding lawsuit is still pending. That looks more specifically at the state education funding system itself. I'm curious what you feel needs to be done with the way Delaware funds its schools.
You know, and the funding issue will be interesting to see what happens and plays out, you know, through the court system. But, you know, education is one of the most important avenues for our community and our country and our state. I had the privilege over the past year and a half to work with a Democrat governor and a Republican governor, Hunt Keene. I was selected for something known as the Hunt Keene Fellows. And it is empowering to note that education is so critical, and we do need to look at our reassessment and how we not only are funding, but how our outcomes are in education. You know, Delaware is a small state, but we have a large number of private secondary education and places for children. And that says something to us. And we have 19 school districts. To me, we have to look at our formula. The formula for school funding is 60 years of age. We need to reevaluate that. And, of course, I'm going to have a lens that the holistic child has to be included. And I know Governor Carney and Secretary Bunning and others have worked really hard with the superintendents to begin to not only look at funding around classrooms and books, but also those social, what we call social determinants, those factors that play into that child's experience. Where they come from, if they have trauma or acquired childhood exposures at home, and thinking differently. After COVID, people began to look at different uses of online technology. We've really advanced. One of the bills I did in the state was the telehealth legislation when I was a senator. And, you know, we're looking at that. And so education itself, how we fund it, the programs we do, just like we have in healthcare making shifts, we're going to have to think out of the box. in education and as a higher education faculty for over 30 some years, you know, we have to move with the changes in the time. And so I think you'll be seeing different structures and pushes for different types of innovation and more integration of mental health and wellness, in particular, as we move into this next decade. We're going to have a lot of children and families after COVID who are going to be experiencing more mental health and trauma. And so I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And that's why I would love to continue in the next 4 years as Lieutenant Governor to be able to help play a role in delivering that to the families and children that deserve it.
We've talked about a number of issues, but I'm curious if there's something we haven't talked about that you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle, and if there is something, how you would address it if reelected.
You know, from the Lieutenant Governor's perspective, again, we have the policy systems of that we're allowed to tackle, right? And then we've got the pardons and the justice and, you know, filling in for the governor. I mean, I think that I've shared with you a number of areas that we want to continue to grow, whether it be the mental health expansion, making sure with our opioid epidemic, I would love to continue to make sure that we get more preventative services out in the hands of our residents. We had a 47% increase in overdose deaths. If we had not put in place the programs at the hospital system, the community system, that number may have been as high as 100%. Who knows? I am just so pleased that we have these systems in place. And those are areas that we need to continue to reformulate. I also know that our population is aging. And one of our major foci areas are on Alzheimer's and dementia. So again, we have spectrum disorders from autism to Alzheimer's. These are areas that we cannot ignore. We have to have systems, assisted living and other programs in place. So that is an area of particular interest to me. Also is how we're taking care and setting those systems up for our senior population. And so, again, I think I've given you a lot of areas, behavioral health, mental health, making sure we have equity issues and justice reform. So justice and equity, along with economics. And a piece that you did not ask about that people take for granted that is important to me, being a child of a farmer from Sussex County where I was raised, is agriculture. Agriculture continues to be Delaware's number one economic source. We've got to keep that strong, and that's why putting measures in place for ag as well as our port, because Port of Wilmington ties into agriculture as well, is critical. And I think, finally, the whole education bucket. So for me, you see those priorities in the education bucket side, making sure we have access to equitable education and higher education or job training with our unions. So that education bucket, the healthcare bucket, right? Affordable care, addressing the public health epidemic, the mental health, behavioral health, the economic side, which is jobs and training and agriculture and creative entrepreneurship and fintech. And then, again, making sure that we in Delaware remain, you know, competitive. And in order to do that, you have to have in place, and there are two last things, and I promise I'll be quiet, two really important things that our governor, I know, has worked hard at that I, too, support is our infrastructure, our roads, our having our good, solid infrastructure, but also broadband. You know, when we started my conversation today, I wasn't sure you were going to hear me on my cell phone. You know, it's really important that our whole state have the telecommunications infrastructure. I recently wrote an op-ed that was featured on that, and it's particularly important when we're looking at education of our children and also when we're delivering more health care via telehealth. So those are things that I didn't get to mention that I would like to highlight, you know, recognizing the importance of infrastructure, both roads and broadband and communication in our state.
Lieutenant Governor Bethany Hall Long seeking a second term in office. Thank you so much for your time on Canada Conversations today.
Thank you.
You can find all of our Canada Conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. Canada Conversations are part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. Thanks for listening.